Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Yes, it is Detours. My mic's up. I'm Greg. You're on Detours, and we thank you for joining us for another Saturday of travel tales and adventures, experiential travel, all the things that you and I love when we travel. We unfortunately, Lindsay can't be here today. She's off travelling countryside Victoria, and Jodie's somewhere else doing her spiel. Macca, of course, you heard on Saturday Magazine. We thank Macca and the team on Sat Mag. Fantastic production by Shannon Power. And, of course, our news with Matt, fabulous newsreader just before us, who is such a good person. We have to get him on the show. Where has Matt been to in all his many years of travelling? I wonder where has Matt been to. And more importantly, where are you going to and where have you been? Let us know on at Detours on Joy at joy94.9 by emailing onair@joy.org.au or SMSing 0427 joy949. Come smack into the studio here at City Village. Now, I'm very privileged today to have in the studio with me fantastic traveller and man, Peter Walpole. Peter, welcome, and thank you for joining us here on Detours.
Thank you very much, Greg.
Now, you're a much-travelled individual, Peter, in terms of where we're going to go today. We're going to talk many things today, but particularly you've just come back from Malaysia.
Malaysia and, Phuket, which, of course, is part of Thailand.
Yeah,
so
yes.
I had 9 days away.
Fantastic.
So I made good use of the long weekend, so I only took 4 days of annual leave, which is always an issue for me.
But you are a much travelled person to the Malaysian Peninsula, aren't you?
Well, that was my fourth trip to Kuala Lumpur in about 18 months.
Yep.
I've got to know the city. I've even got a touch-and-go card so I can get round on the trains. I haven't ventured onto the buses yet. I'm starting to get to know the layout of the city. It's not a nice grid layout like Melbourne. The streets wander all over the place. But I can get myself around Burkitt Bintang reasonably well now without a map.
Let's focus just on that. How do you establish a pattern, establish a way of finding landmarks and finding a way around a strange city that isn't laid out as Melbourne is?
I'm a land valuer by profession, so maps and utilities and services and buildings, etc., are probably a bit of an interest. And one of the first things I do in a foreign place is I try and get myself some maps or get them loaded onto the phone. And that's something I find difficult. Of course, as soon as you go overseas, you suddenly lose access to things like Google Maps because, you know, internet roaming is quite expensive. I'm again getting better at those sorts of things. I've got a second phone which I can slip a local SIM card into. With those facilities, you can soon plug in an address or bring up your location on a map and find your way around doing that. But there's all sorts of interesting things I've learned over time. I mean, the first time I went to Malaysia, I negotiated the airport. I got lost once, but eventually I found my way to immigration and customs. And then I negotiated myself onto the train and got myself into the central station. And then I had this rather poor map. Map I'd printed off Google, but I was going to save some money. I wasn't going to get the taxi. I was going to walk to my hotel. It doesn't seem that far. And of course, I came out of the station, and first thing is KL Central is pretty well surrounded by a ring road. So the first challenge is just to get over the road. Then you realise that you're in the tropics and there are not much in the way of shadows and which is north and which is south, and the map wasn't good enough to orientate the buildings. So finally I negotiated my way out of there and across another road and into an area which I learnt later is called Brickfields. Well, I had a good look around Brickfields over about an hour and a half. I got no closer to my hotel. And finally, I saw a taxi, and I thought, well, I don't care if it costs me $50. I'm going to take a taxi now. having sweated, just about sweated my life away. And, you know, the travel guides all warn you, make sure they use the meter and all these sorts of things. So I got in this taxi and actually reveled in the air, little bit of air, cool air coming out of the air conditioning. And we headed down the street, and it had about this number 11 on it. And I might add, I was pretty raw at this stage. I'm still just working out that Jarlan meant street, and it came at the start of the street name and things like that. And I thought, oh, he's not going to reset the meter. And then finally he did reset the meter, and then it stayed on 3 for ages. I thought, no, the meter's broken. He's just ripping me off. And finally it clicked over to 3.1. And 45 minutes later, he dropped me at my hotel. And I sort of mumbled something, you know, how much is it? And he sort of pointed at the meter, and by this stage I was reduced to submission, and I handed him a 20 ringgit note. And he's reaching for the chains. I said, no, mate. Yeah, so, and just to get that in perspective, that's about $7, $6 to $7. So I'd sweated my life away, dragged the case all around Brickfields to save myself $7. So I guess it just goes to show, don't take your perceptions of home with you, because every place is different.
And they are. They're so different. Now, why Malaysia? What took you to Malaysia in the first place?
I knew someone over there, and perhaps that didn't quite go the way I expected, but that was the sort of the initial attraction. I hadn't travelled for years. I came out fairly late in life, and for many years I'd been pretty homebound. I'd been to Europe a couple of times, once in about 1983 and then again about 1997. And, well, I guess you've got to start somewhere, and that was sort of the genesis of it. It's easy to get to from Melbourne. Plenty of direct flights, and I had, you know, a little bit of contact in terms of teeing up where I might initially, what hotel I might stay in, and it just built from there.
Fantastic. And Malaysia, I've said many times, I use that as a hub into Asia. Fantastic place to stop over and spend time with before you travel out. And, you know, I actually like Malaysian Airways. It's actually a bit of fun. There's also many budget travellers that go through there through AirAsia and AirAsia X coming out of Australia. So that's a way. Or your traditional players like Qantas and other
airlines. Well, that's right. Emirates.
Beautiful flights.
Malaysian Airlines. Yeah. I'm very lucky in my job that I usually look for the bargains in airfares and book the flight, or tentatively tie it up, and then go into work and say, I want leave between these dates.
Perfect. Now, you're listening to Peter Walpole. I'm Greg Atkins. This is Detours. You're on Joy 94.9. Stay with us, because we've got a lot more coming up in the show today on Detours on Joy 94.9.
Something about a crime that has happened
or is about to happen?
Crime Stoppers work with you to fill in the missing pieces and help solve crime.
Crime Stoppers don't use caller ID, and internet messages are encrypted to protect your identity.
For more information, visit crimestoppers.com.au or call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000.
Joy 94.9, Victoria Police and Crime Stoppers working to help make our community safe.
And they are. And thank them for working to make our community safe. Fantastic job. You listen to the Police Glow Show, Vic Police Glow Show, Wednesdays at noon here on Joy 94.9. But today you are listening to Detours. Detours is a long-standing show that's been here on Joy for over 13 and a half years, almost 14 years. It was founded by many people, including Jodie Wilmer, who's away today, but usually here in the chair with me. Peter Walpole's our guest. Now, we're talking about Malaysia at the start of our travels, and you've revealed that you do quite enjoy saving $6.75 by walking for hours around Malaysia. And you know what? It's something we all do. I've done that in Shanghai. I managed to walk for 8 hours, saving a taxi fare, trying to find an IMAX cinema, which I couldn't find in the end. We do strange things while we're travelling, don't we? The one thing we do that's pretty common is, just as we had Troy Cassar-Daly with his Big Big Love song, we sometimes chase our hearts when we travel overseas. Now, I'm thinking by the smile on your face that you've done a bit of heart chasing yourself. Was that part of why you went to Malaysia?
Oh, that was certainly the incentive or motivation to make the trip. It didn't perhaps go down that path, but...
Ain't that the cause? It always happens.
But I found plenty of substitute, and I've made some good friends over the years and the trips I've made, and still keep in touch with a number of people.
Yeah, the first lonely in love or lost in love travelling experience, when your heart's out there and it's either unrequited or it doesn't go slightly down the path you want it to go, it can be pretty destroying for the new player, can't it, when you first experience that?
I think we're probably lucky in this day and age with the internet. It's made things very different. Even functions like Grindr and Jack D and that sort of thing. And if you use those applications and you take them with an open mind and a friendly attitude, you can achieve a lot that perhaps you couldn't achieve previously, certainly for someone of my nature.
That's true, isn't it? And they're international, so there are people usually around the world that connect, and the web app on your phone is the latest version. Before that, there have always been, standalone products on the net that you could log into on a browser. Before that, pre-internet, it was pretty limited in terms of connecting with people, unless you happened to bump into them or there was a physical meeting here and you followed through in a different country.
Yes, and I suppose it fell back on the old stalwarts, saunas and nightclubs and venues, which, depending on your nature and how outgoing you are, perhaps... different people react to those things in different ways.
I remember being in a place called, it was called at the time, Mr. Piggy's, and it was in Manila, in Makati, a gay bar probably coming up to 15 years ago. And when my then partner took his shirt off and I joined him, and then we took our pants off to have small shorts underneath, the whole place just went wild and they're all stripping off and they'd never seen it before. And that sort of experience, you have got to be lucky. We stumbled across that particular gay venue in Makati in the Philippines. You've got to be lucky sometimes if you don't have the connections locally. That was pre-internet. Now you can just put a message out, can't you? Where do I go in Melbourne if I'm...
Well, that's right. Well, I've had actually someone once contacted me and said, I'm coming to Melbourne for the weekend, you know, what would you recommend? And I sort of wrote back about various venues, and this has got a particular nature and that's got a particular nature, and this place is very similar to Marketplace. And he wrote back and said, well, that sounds good. And then lo and behold, I get another message, I'm in Melbourne, and another message, I'm inside the venue, where are you?
And fantastic. That's a way of meeting people. And look, you might have just been friends, or you might just be have a few drinks together at the club, or it might become an affair of the heart, who knows, or a passionate affair of the heart.
Well, certainly in that case we became good friends, and quite coincidentally I was at the low-cost terminal on the Sunday when I was coming back, and I didn't catch up with this guy because he'd actually gone to Cambodia for the weekend. But I just was filling in time at the airport and messaged him through WhatsApp and said, you know, I'm at the airport, etc. And he said, oh, well, look out the window. He said, I've just come off a plane from Cambodia. You know, if you watch, you'll see me walk by, very hungover. And anyway, lo and behold, I said, right, were you the guy with the red plastic bag, and he says, that was me.
Small world.
Yes.
Now, that terminal in Malaysia, in Kuala Lumpur, the LCC terminal, is a pretty good terminal, isn't it? They've done a lot of work building it up, and it's quite huge, really.
It's a big terminal. It serves all the necessary functions. Okay, you walk in the open a lot more. It reminded me very much of probably what Essendon Airport was like back in the 1950s and 1960s.
But a lot fresher paint.
Yes. but no, it's got all the facilities you need to get a snack and that sort of thing, and it forms a very useful hub for AirAsia.
Now, here's your tip. It is a fair way. If you're travelling from the LCC terminal into Kuala Lumpur itself and you don't want to spend that taxi fare, which is a bit more than $7.60 for that run, you can just walk out of the LCC terminal and get a small bus, takes you around to the other terminal, the main terminal, and from that you can catch another bus that'll get you into Kuala Lumpur really cheaply. Quite cheap fares, only a couple of ringgit, 2 ringgit or something, they get you into the city.
Okay, well, I actually pre-booked a bus through when I booked the ticket, I think for $5. They provide transport. AirAsia has a bus that provides transport from the low-cost terminal to KL Central. Of course, from the main airport, there's the train which gets you in there in about 30 minutes.
What a great facility that is. I often wonder, why don't we have a similar way of getting an express train from Melbourne City to the airport? It works really well in KL. It's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, if you've only been watching the press this last week, you can see the issues that are around that. And
they've still got the rail corridor here in Melbourne. They can still, if they had the reserve land, they can take things through.
My understanding is that the concession signed with CityLink has penalties in it.
There you go. Now, that's the business world. We have had a message from a listener who's asked about you, Peter. What sort of work are you in, and how does that work take you overseas?
Well, the work itself doesn't take me overseas. My original training was in agricultural science, and then I subsequently did a property valuation course at RMIT. And I guess travelling, I take an interest in building and construction, and I like to get out into the country if I can, which I haven't had a lot of chance to do to date. But I've actually got contacts over there who are studying plantation management and that sort of thing. So one day I might take up on that and head to East Malaysia and try and have a look at an oil palm plantation or something like that.
Wow, there you go. There you go, Peter Walpole, soon to be oil palm farmer. We had a couple of messages. Speaking of travel, all trains to and from Newport are cancelled. So if you're a local Melbourne traveller, there you go. The second message is, was your guest meeting a young Malaysian boy, says John from Melbourne. Well, maybe he was meeting a Malaysian boy. And you know what? When you're the slightly the wrong side of 40, as we are, everyone's younger than us, aren't they?
Unfortunately, yes.
And Andy, of course, thank you, Andy. Andy says, Pete, you were lucky not to be ripped off by your taxi driver. Even locals get ripped off. Andy says when he's back in KL, he reverts to speaking Chinglish so as to blend as a local. But still, some taxi drivers rip you off for not using the meter, which is illegal but widespread. And when Andy was there last month, there was a news item about a tourist who was charged over $100 Malaysian, so maybe 100 ringgit, for a short ride equivalent from Carlton to City, which is normally about 10 bucks. He paid because he felt intimidated, but referred the matter to police. That's true, isn't it? And thanks, Andy. That's a really good tip. If you want to share tips like that with Detours, detours@joy.org.au or on air at joy.org.au during the show today, or you can SMS 0427JOY949. That's 0427569949, just as Andy and the other guys have just done into the studio for Peter Walpole. Now, Peter, your travels through Malaysia, that's not the extent of your travels.
No, the last time I went, actually I'd only passed through the low-cost terminal and I was going on to Phuket. I was catching up with a couple of local friends there and we flew on to Phuket, well, at least two of us did. One of my friends hadn't checked his passport and got caught on the absence of a 6-month validity.
Now, we're going to talk about that hold on to your horses, charge your glasses, your cup of tea, whatever you're doing this morning. Do not go away. We're about to hear that fabulous story from Peter Walpole here on Detours. Stay with us on Joy 94.9. You're here on Detours, Greg Atkins with Peter Walpole, our guest. We've got a little bit of music. This is for you, Andy. On behalf of Peter, he wants you to enjoy the sounds of Rihanna with California King Bed. Here on Joy 94.9, this is Detours.
Just that close, wrist to wrist, toe to toe, lips that felt just like the inside of a rose. So how come when I reach out my finger, it feels like more than distance between us in this California King?
If it's tired, boring music you're looking for, you've come to the wrong station. Joy 94.9, now playing the hottest new music first.
And we are. We play fantastic music. Do you know, Peter Walpole, our guest here on Detours, I've been listening to really intently to some of the music. We did the broadcast, outdoor broadcast at La Trobe Uni on Tuesday, just past. You can hear it online through joy.org.au. The podcast of that particular broadcast is up. And you can hear even Detours and all the other great shows here at Joy on the podcast feature through our website. But the music was just fantastic through the Pride Week broadcast that took place. So congratulations, Chris Jameson, the music director here at Joy. Well done. And the other recent broadcast was the Chill Out Festival broadcast from Dalesford 2 Sundays ago. In fact, it's a fortnight ago tomorrow. The Australian country music and other forms of country music that played through that through our particular country music show, Q Music. So check out that as well, that particular broadcast, and listen to our own Joy Country Music Show. Check out the grid, joy.org.au. We'll show you the program grid, and you can see many of those fantastic shows that have musical highlights. And the other shows, like ours at Detours, we are ones that have interviews with fabulous people such as you, Peter Walpole.
Thank you very much.
Now, just before the break, you talked about a friend of yours that had a slight glitch with their travel documentation. Sure.
Yes. So, yes, we lined up at the counter for document verification, and she checked my passport, checked the bag through, and then she goes to my friend's passport and opens it up and says, "I'm sorry, sir, you only got 2 months left."
Oops,
you can't travel. So that put a spanner in the works, and I had the Australian vision. Well, look, this is it. It's written it off. You know, I'm stuck on the plane, and he's stuck there, and the third member of the party, you know, which way do they go? And they don't get a lot of annual leave. My friend works in retail, and they only get about 12 days of annual leave a year, so it's valuable to them. And they work 7 days a week with just perhaps one day off a week. So anyway, we concluded the check-in process, and then we went over to the inquiry counter, and he made inquiries, and he was told that immigration had an office open in the city. So he hurriedly arranged to catch up with us later in the day, and he took a taxi to the city, got to that office to find it was closed, he told us later.
Oh, no.
But he went in there dragging his bag and said, "I've got this emergency," and a woman there apparently was very helpful and said, "Look, we're closed, but there's an office open at Putrajaya, which is sort of the Canberra, I guess, of Malaysia, just out of Kuala Lumpur, and incidentally closer to the airport." So he took a taxi down there, and we Googled up that immigration actually is open 7 days a week, at least between about 9 and 2 p.m., and can process passports or renewals on the spot. So anyway, he did go down there. He was able to get his new passport issued and caught the 6 o'clock flight to Phuket. So,
oh, there you go. That's more good fortune, and certainly not good planning.
But it's definitely good fortune.
Good fortune, and not often do you have those ducks line up in a row, do you?
Well, that's right.
Now, we've had a message from Peter from the Cabaret Room. Thanks for listening, Peter. It's good to see that some of the fantastic Joy presenters are resting up and listening to Detours on a Sunday. You can listen to Cabaret Room at 9 o'clock on Sunday. So it's tomorrow night. You can hear Paul, Kip, and Peter on the Cabaret Room, and that's a bit of awesome shows as well. Is there a cabaret in Malaysia? Have you ever seen any cabaret in Malaysia?
I've seen drag shows at Blue Boy. Last time I was there, I went a little bit more highbrow than that, and I went to the Malaysian Philharmonic Orchestra.
Oh, well,
the Petronas Twin Towers. I'd always been a little bit cautious because they had a very high standard of dress rule, which was a lounge suit at least for men. And who goes on holidays dragging a lounge suit with them?
I was wondering why you rocked up here with a suit and tie this morning. Is it just because you wanted to talk about the Philharmonic in KL?
I just wanted to tell people that it's a very impressive concert venue.
Now, this is the one at the Petronas Twin Towers.
That's correct.
Describe when you go and the venue opens up before you and you see it for the first time. For me, when I go to performances, that's part of the thing, is to see the visual nature, the impressive form that the auditorium takes. What's it like when you walk in and it opens up before you, those doors open and you're in?
There's a lot of timber, a lot of timber finishes. It's fairly rectangular. It doesn't have a lot of slope in it, so it's a fairly intimate venue. They have boxes down either side.
Oh, fantastic.
We had a couple of the best seats. The best seats are about 120 ringgit, and they range down to about 30 ringgit. They're fairly heavily subsidised. The audience struck me as being, dare I say, largely, it appeared, expat. I don't know how many locals enjoy attending there. And I went this occasion because they'd relaxed the dress rules to the point where, a pair of leather shoes, some trousers with a crease and a shirt with a collar was sufficient to get you in. They don't allow jeans, they don't allow moccasins or thongs or shorts, and they wouldn't allow T-shirts. But it was a wonderful experience, a good concert, and I enjoyed it.
That's fantastic. Well done. How did you find out information about that? What was the nucleus for discovering that venue and the performance?
I'm not quite sure how I initially found out about it, but I just put myself on the mailing list, and I get an email probably once a week, once every fortnight, with the upcoming performances. And I'd seen this one coming and thought this was a golden opportunity to listen to some good music. While you're on holidays, in a wonderful venue.
Now let's ramp to a different discussion now. Speaking of wonderful venues, one part, and this now, sorry girls, you can tune in and have a bit of gentle sort of purveyance of what gay men get up to, but this is really just for the boys, just for a second, for the next 5 minutes or so. To find sorters in a different country, if you want to go to a venue where men can actually meet other people and just enjoy a nice steam or whatever, how do you find a sauna in Malaysia?
Again, of course, you can Google the internet, or local contacts will tell you, various venues and where they are. In Kuala Lumpur itself, there are two or three. There's one reasonably central, well-known one, Thermos. But I remember taking a trip down to Malacca with a friend, and we had a couple of days being tourists in Malacca, and he was determined. He'd heard there was a sauna in Malacca and he wanted to find it, so we Googled it, and we thought we'd determined where it was, and we went up to along the river, and we're trying to find it. No success. So we went back, and next evening we Googled again, and I said, it's got to be in that area. It's got to be in that area there. So next morning, we're back there at about 9 o'clock, looking up and down the street. And I said, look, the way it is, it should be this building here. And anyway, my friend was standing there just looking up and down the street. And this car came racing down the street, pulled up. The guy leaned out the window and said, antique shop opens at noon, sauna at 7. and then proceeded on down the street.
Fantastic. Fantastic. It's a multi-functioning venue.
Multi-function venue, that's right. So, yes, the tourists that were going through the antique shop downstairs were unsuspectingly underneath a fully functional sauna.
It could be said that if you and I happened to visit a place of pleasure and steam in Melbourne, the antiques might have been 24/7, mightn't they, with us there? Oh, we shouldn't say that, should we? Now, a special shout-out to Colin Chrysler. We're going to play a song to you, Colin Chrysler, right now. I know you're a fabulous Detours listener. We're going to play a little bit of Aqua for Colin. It's Back to the 80s here on Joy 94.9. Stay with us all the way to the hour with Peter Walpole and Greg Aitkins on Detours.
Us excited like Detours on Joy 94.9.
And we do thank the beautiful Aqua Band who played that last track Back to the 80s for us. So thanks very much, and thanks for dropping in and helping you, helping us with our promoting Detours, this fabulous show that's been here on Joy for almost 14 years. And they've been around for a while, haven't they, Aqua? Do you remember them from the 80s?
I certainly do.
Yeah, that's Peter Walpole, our guest here on Detours today. We've talked about Malaysia, we've talked about KL, we've talked about travel documentation. That really is important, that you keep your travel documentation up to par. You've got to at least have 6 months' validity on your passport for most countries to be able to exit or enter those countries. Under that, it might still be a valid document that will get you home, but you might not be able to continue your travels through some journeys, which you've discovered through Malaysia, your friend in particular.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, part of your journey, it wasn't just Malaysia. You're on your way to Thailand as well.
That's correct. I was only at the low-cost terminal in Kuala Lumpur, essentially in transit, even though I did pass through immigration and spent a couple of hours in the country. And then we flew off again to Phuket. Well, at least two of us did, while my other friend chased his passport. And we arrived at Phuket International Airport, and then of course you're always looking at what's the best way to get into the town, because the airport is actually about 45 minutes out of Patong, which is where we were staying. And there was the option of a taxi, which is probably between 600 and 700 baht, which is not exorbitant. 600 baht is roughly 20 Australian dollars. But we opted for the bus at 150 baht, so we clambered aboard the bus. But little do we know that part of that journey was a detour to a travel agency, ostensibly because they had to organise which hotel we were going to, but really was just a sales call to tell us about various trips and what could they organise for us, etc. But you take that with good humour. And finally, yes, they did drop us at where we were staying. And
yeah.
We had my friend had stayed at this place before. It's quite a well-known gay venue, Connect Guesthouse, the main gay area.
Fantastic.
Of Phuket.
And the advantage of that too, when it's a place that people know and have been to, you've got the experiences that they've had. They'll know what works and doesn't work, and personal recommendation is always good, unless of course in between the times when they went and you're about to go, there's been a change of management or a change of staff, and your experience can often be vastly different to theirs in those circumstances.
But well, we were lucky. There had been a change of ownership, but some of the staff were the same, and we were actually lucky enough to get a room upgrade.
Fantastic.
The room that had been booked was no longer available, but they said, we'll put you downstairs at it has a bigger balcony, but we'll give you the same price. So,
Describe your room. What was it like? What sort of room?
It was, well, in that climate, it's much more comfortable, of course, if it's air-conditioned, and that's pretty well standard now. There was a fan, quite a good TV, small refrigerator. The bathroom was adequate. It wasn't, you wouldn't call it five-star, but it was certainly adequate. We had a large balcony that overlooked the street, so you could sit on that and look down on the people walking past and the various shows that the various venues used to put on to sort of spruik their wares outside. And I certainly remember there was one venue across the street. These very attractive young men used to come out about 10 o'clock at night and do a little show in the street. And I asked my friend, you know, what goes on over there? And he seemed to be very reluctant to tell me. So after several nights, and we'd been to several other places, I said to him, I'm going over there to investigate. And so I went downstairs, and one of the spruikers at the front saw me, and he said, oh, come on, sir, come and have a look, you know, lots of boys. And I'm, of course, a complete novice to this at this point. And I go in, and there's a show on. There's probably an audience of 50, 60 people, mixed audience, quite a reasonable show. So I went up the back, I bought a drink and watched that conclude, and many of the audience left, and then some music started up, and a range of attractive boys came up and started sort of dancing on the stage. And sort of an inkling of what the place is, of course, is they have little numbers on them.
Oh, yes. Okay.
And then a woman came over, possibly a trans woman, but a woman came over. I'd say she was the madam of the establishment. And she asked me what I thought of the offering on the stage. I said, oh, it's some quite attractive people there, but, you know, I'm not really familiar with the system. You know, what's the system? So she proceeded to explain to me what the system was and the various charges, etc.
Oh, no. Yes, Peter stumbled into one of those men's entertainment bars in Phuket. But, look, hey, it's an important part of the economy for the local community there. There's a whole heap of people in our community that work in those venues, behind the stage, behind the bars, even some of the guys that work in the shows. That's their income. Some of them actually are not gay boys. Some are straight boys, aren't they?
That's right.
And they're raising income for families and keeping families. It's when people have the choice to be involved and that's how they earn their income, that's great. In some of the other countries where they don't have the choice, that can be a bit of problematic, can't it, where people don't have the choice and they're forced to do what they do, you know, what they're forced by circumstance to do low-paid jobs or have people cut their money. But entertaining, was it good?
Yes, it was an it was all part of an education. But we went later on. We went up to another venue up the street. We saw the show there at the Boat Bar. And then we came down and we dropped into another one of these venues at probably about 1 in the morning. And my friend and I, we had a drink. But by that stage, the number on the stage was fairly depleted, probably only down to about 5 in that particular venue. Yeah. But look, it was a good experience. And, of course, in a few weeks' time, they've got Phuket Gay Pride. That's taking place between about the 23rd, I think it is, and 28th of April.
Fantastic.
There was a big banner across the street, one end in English and the other end in Thai, advertising various shows and parties, etc., that are taking place that week.
I reckon Brett Hayho from, and we'll do a shout out to Brett from Melbourne Pride, Pride March, fantastic man, does a great job. I reckon he might be there. He's part of Interpride, and I suppose Interpride will be part of having a meeting or a discussion around Phuket Pride. So good luck, Brett. I hope you make your way to Thailand for Phuket Pride. and it's 23rd to 28th of April. Not too late. It's only a month away if people want to make their travel plans to get to Thailand. Will you be going for that?
No, no annual leave left, I'm afraid.
Oh, you're done.
I'm done.
This is where, see, many years ago, you should have made the conscious decision to be a teacher because they get 10 weeks paid holidays a year.
True, but you don't get the flexibility then and you pay the high season premium.
And you do pay the high season premium.
Because, of course, high season over there is in the European winter. And that was one of the things that struck me was the number of signs in Russian, the real estate billboards that advertised advertising condominiums or apartments or land for sale. Ring this number for Russian, ring this number for German. Because, of course, you know, Phuket is more than just what we've spoken about this morning. There's the sun, the sand, the sea. And it can be quite... a nice break to go down to the beach and you hire your cabana and for 100 baht and the guy comes around every half hour and adjusts the umbrella for you and someone else comes past with drinks and etc.
Yeah.
So, but the main thing, of course, for we fair-skinned people is you take plenty of sunscreen or buy plenty of sunscreen and use it.
You just have to. Hey, we've had two more messages. We've had another message from Andy saying KL saunas get regularly raided, not because of the gay element, but because of illegal foreign men, Indonesians, Burmese, Afghans, etc., plying their trade and drugs. If you want to go, go in the afternoon and not at night when it's busier, but much more likely to be raided. So good on you, Andy. Thanks for that suggestion. Go in the afternoon. Preferably not at night. At night time when it's busier is when you're likely to get raided. The other one is a second message from Luke Gallagher. Good on you, Luke, for messaging in. He's another fan that we love. We love Luke Gallagher. We saw him perform with Dolly Diamond at Chill Out Festival, and it was fantastic. Well done in front of the big stage. And he's loving the show. Looking forward to sending Dolly Diamond to Europe for 6 months. Getting rid of Dolly Diamond for 6 months. I know she'll have a fantastic time and she'll work a little butt off over there. Two big band shows to do first, though. And he's on his way back to Bendigo and heard us say chocolate on Detours on Joy. So he's heading into Joy now. Good on you. Luke Gallagher. Now, you've been on Detours. Our guest has been Peter Walpole. Peter, your travel plans in the next, you know, when you do get some annual leave back, what are your travel plans then?
Oh, at the moment, there's tentative ideas that there might be another trip to the Philippines in the offering around the middle of the year. I went there last year toward the end of the year, again, courtesy of Malaysian Airlines with a special deal that they had on. And perhaps toward the end of the year, I'll probably end up back in Malaysia again.
Fantastic. Sounds pretty good. I think they're good travel destinations and good plans. Peter Walpole, this won't be your first or last visit on Detours. Certainly not your first, but you'll have many more. We look forward to you returning again and sharing some of those other adventures with us. Would you come back?
I'd certainly come back, Greg.
Fantastic. That's Peter Walpole. You've been on Detours every Saturday, 12 noon, here on Joy 94.9. Stay tuned. Pete Dillon Cravings coming up at 1 after Matt and the dulcet tones of Matt with the news. Tickle your earways and tease you through to the next hour of Cravings. And the focus on Cravings today will be chocolate and all things Easter. So stay with us here on Joy 94.9. I've been Greg. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Joy.
94.9. I've been around the world. To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.